Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It's Russ with you. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. This is the first episode where I actually feel back to normal. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and you know, the whole podcast was delayed because of a sickness that I had back in like Christmas. This is what I got for Christmas, a sickness. It was not great. I did pass it on. So I'm a re-gifter, as I mentioned earlier. And it's been in my household. It's been around. My daughter got it. She actually had the cough so bad that she fractured a rib. It's like, it's crazy. So stay safe out there. Don't get sick. Just stay away from people, maybe. I don't know. You hear somebody coughing, run the other direction. that's what you got to do. All right. So I'm feeling much better. And it's like I'm full of energy now. It's crazy. I don't know if you guys listen to, I do a podcast with Bridgie and Greg. It's called the Third Shot Podcast. It's a pickleball podcast, right? I had them on and we sort of did a demo of the show, like on this show, and then it turned into its own show. It's inspired me to like kind of, you know, get back into shape a little bit. So I've even got a treadmill in the studio here. Now, I'm not going to do it while podcasting, but while I'm working during the day, I'm like walking on the treadmill for like an hour and a half. And it's given me so much energy. And I am so glad that I have like this topic today. And actually, more importantly, I'm so glad I have this guest today because she is full of energy as well. And just talking to her in the pre-show, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so much more pumped up now. This is great. Angela Marshall is joining me. Angela, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Russ. You are such a ball of energy and just, I tell you, you are definitely the goal as it relates to learning more. So
Thank you so much for that. And the reason why I had you on is because like every week, I want to learn something new. I want to share it with my listeners. And this is such a great topic because this is something, guess what? You listening? It's impacting you right now, right? It is impacting everybody right now. External voices, like hitting them. And we're paying too much attention to those external voices. So Angela came out with this thing about living vicariously through yourself. How cool is that? And actually, what does that mean? Well, think about it, right? Like, well, actually, you know what? Why am I going to explain it, Angela? I'm going to let you explain what you mean by this. Cause I'm sitting here and I'm like, you're like, oh, let me hear this thing. I'm going to let you tell it because I love this idea and it's fantastic. So please do share it with us.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Definitely appreciate your listeners. Living vicariously through yourself simply means being determined, dealing with everything that, you know, life and yourself throws your way and other people throws your way. Being determined, you know, like you have to have determination because as we all know, as soon as you make a decision about something, whether it's I'm going to live vicariously through myself or I'm going to not have chocolate chip cookies, what do you want more of? Chocolate chip cookies. So you definitely, you know, want to be determined in whatever decision that you're making for yourself, such as I'm going to live vicariously through myself. Now, there are things that we do when we make decisions as far as living from day to day for others. However, that should not overshadow how you really and truly want to live for your life and the different things that you want to do for yourself. Because as we all know, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not happy for yourself, if you're not, you know, displaying the joy and just doing all things that can help you live your best and your just enormous size life, you can't live vicariously through yourself. You're actually, it's almost like being a chess piece or a puzzle piece or, a checkers piece where people are just kind of like moving you to and fro. So I came up with the platform Live Vicariously Through Yourself because once upon a time, I was in this lifestyle where, you know, everything's like so cookie cutter, right? Like they tell you how to dress, how to speak, what you should look like, what your children should look like, what your family should look like. And, you know, in terms of demographics and just everything else. And it was so frustrating and overwhelming until I was just like, you know what? I, as long as we are good people, as long as we're making good choices and decisions and we are actually putting something great out into this world, who cares about all the other stuff? So live vicariously through yourself is just simply, you know, living on your own terms, whatever that needs to look like. Disclaimer, not breaking laws. You're not living vicariously through yourselves. Believe it or not, Russ, I've said that and people are like, oh, well, you know, you're giving people the freedom to just be and do and you know, all things horrible. And I'm like, no, you know, you, again, that comes with the territory as far as being able to just mute the external voices and the noises. Of course, I'm not an advocate for anything wrong. I promote growth and elevation. But also I promote being true to who you are. So that's living vicariously through yourself.
You know, I feel like, okay, so there's conflicting questions in my head here because I'm sort of wondering where people are in this, right? Because social media, for instance, is just a bunch of external voice, you know, garbage that's coming in there, right? Like I can even think of this podcast. Like I had somebody comment on my YouTube video, it was sort of a negative comment. I'll tell you, it was about my laugh. My laugh in this one particular interview, I was laughing so hard. He goes, "It sounds like an evil laugh. This guy, this host sounds like an evil laugher." I'm like, "Well, shoot, great. Now I can maybe audition to get on, you know, the haunted house at Disneyland." Like, fantastic, right? Like, I look at these comments, and when I do get a negative comment, I generally turn it around. I'm laughing at it. There's some things that, you know, like, oh, the music might be a little too hot or something. Like, fantastic, mm-hmm. Great tip. I can improve. You know, I'm trying to be like, take any kind of comments that I get constructively. Of course, all the reviews are 5 stars. I'm just kidding. Love to get more of those though. But looking at the social media aspect of it and you know, this commenting world that we have where everybody's got a voice, that means also everybody's like kind of putting those things on you. How do you avoid that? And how do you get away from that? Because I feel like we're in this hyper like external voice world now where it's just everywhere.
Absolutely. I will say this. I look at comments sparingly, meaning only when my mentor has gone through my social media pages and has said, "Angela, it's time for you to go online and actually respond to some of the comments." Because if you get sucked in with comment after comment, good or bad, I think it is more of a distraction. Now, I'm with you when you say, well, you know, you look at comments and you look at them from a constructive point of view, because it's like everybody can improve. All of us should be looking at some sort of way to improve. But those comments, especially from on social media, across all links, from what I've heard, even being on LinkedIn and different ones where you think it's more or should be more professional, sometimes those are just as perverted and crazy as well. So, you know, for me, I look at the comments. I don't really take any of them to heart as it relates to if it's something that is negative or something that may be a little destructive. I just allow it to fly. Now, obviously, if it's something that is very, very offensive, I will, you know, ban the user, remove the comment. But I just leave them on there because I just think that, as my grandmother said a long time ago, Angela, you're not going to be liked by everybody. You're not going to please everybody. And you're not everybody's cup of tea. So get out of your own head, get out of your own way in thinking that everybody is supposed to just really go gaga and love Angela so much to where, oh my God, how dare they say something negative? You know, because we start these podcasts, right, or posts or stories or books or whatever with the intent to really be positive. And it's like, really a negative comment? Like, where does that come from? Well, it comes from because everybody does have a voice. Everybody does have their own perspective about things. Even from my standpoint, I've heard so many times, I've been doing this since 2016 when I published my first book, and I've heard so many times that I am still trying to relish. Now, mind you, let me just throw this out there. My ex-husband, I think the last time he played, the last game he played in the NFL was like 1998 or 1999. So now we're like 2016. and I'm, you know, starting this, my platform and everything. And people had the audacity to say that I was relishing in his 15 minutes of fame. Many years later. And so like, I'm still, you know, putting out posts or just different stories. And again, there's nothing negative. My ex and I this is not a reality show type mindset that I have as it comes to information, inspiration, and implementation. Like, I'm really speaking from the heart and telling these, you know, the truths about different struggles that I've gone through and actually still go through so that I can help people.
Right.
But still the comments, there's still the negativity, but hey, it is what it is.
Totally. And, you know, so I'm just going to plug every one of my podcasts. I feel like I do this every podcast, but over on the business show, like I'm talking to different people, and we had an episode, we were talking about Yelp, right? And Yelp is one of those things where it's just like, there's so many people just like angry on there. And I was talking to a business owner and they said to me, they said, oh, well, you know, I'm not really concerned about what I read on there. I'm concerned about others reading it. I'm like, well, guess what? You're still concerned about these external voices that you have no control over. Like, yeah. It's very hard to do well 100% of the time on Yelp, right? And there's so many people that'll just go on there. They were never customers. Like, I had a business that I was working with, and it was a plumber. Their only bad review, one-star review, was because they parked their plumbing truck in front of somebody's house for too long, like the neighbor's house, because there wasn't parking. So like they were upset about the truck. They didn't use the service. Like, why are they giving this person a bad review? But he was so upset about it and so hyper-focused on it. And I'm like, people are going to see this and laugh at it as well. Like, you don't have to worry about that. Just build your business, be a better business owner. Take this advice if you can. And maybe, hey, you know what? Go next time you do that, you have to park in front of somebody's house. Maybe go knock on their door and say, hey, I'm going to be parked in front of your house. Is that okay? Oh, here's my card in case you need a plumber. You know, like, turn it around. Like, do what you can to make it better. But it's like, you know, running a business or just being a human these days is so hard because of social media. Now, that was I was going to ask that question about this time. But then I also kind of had this thing in my head of about this time, like post-pandemic, right? Like, we kind of pulled in, like, you know, we didn't leave our houses. We didn't have, like, you know, events to go to. There wasn't a whole lot happening anymore. And all of a sudden, we've now, like, gone to this, like, you know, the hierarchy of needs have closed in on us. And it's like, okay, do I have, you know, toilet paper? Do I have food for the week? Oh, shoot, I gotta get an Instacart account. You know, like, what do I do here? So you're figuring all these things out, all the basics once again. So I sort of came out of that with a different outlook on life of, like, you know, like before I would have been invited to an event and it's like, okay, well, I should go, you know, just, and it wasn't that I wanted to go. It was that I just felt like, okay, well, I should go. Like, I had that, you know, those external voices telling me, oh, go, you should go to this. And also an internal voice telling me I should go. But I instead, like, I just, and now it's like, if I don't want to go to something, I don't go. I just, oh no, I can't make it. You know, where it's like, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not thinking about it. And I think it's because of the pandemic, you know, it's like, well, that's not really important. You know, I'd rather, instead of doing that, you know, go hang out with my son, or go hang out with my daughter, or go do something, you know, take her to the doctor to get that rib healed. Do something that's actually really important instead of, you know, going to have cocktails with somebody that I haven't seen in, you know, 20 years that I'm not really great friends with. Sorry, Dan. Just kidding. I made up that name. But, you know, it's a weird thing. So are you feeling that difference too? And are you seeing others with that difference of, like, we're sort of reevaluating what's important to us?
Well, I definitely have been reevaluating for a long time, even after the divorce, because my ex and I, our divorce was finalized in 2000. So with that, it was like, I had to do a lot of reflection, a lot of reevaluating, a lot of rebalancing, recentering, refocusing. And so I think that led me to be a lot more bolder, if you would, I guess, coming out of the pandemic, because like you, there are a lot of things that I would be invited to or get asked to do and just doing them out of obligation. But now, post pandemic, it's like, okay, this is the time that I'm allotting for this or for that, no matter what it is, personal, professional, mental, emotional, physical, whatever, social, cultural. And I don't go over that. Now, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of flexibility, but not very much, because I found that if I continue to dip into those different allotments and either go over or go under, I'm not as balanced as I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But definitely post-pandemic, it has given me a new sense of self. And what self is an acronym for shine, evolve, love, and fulfill. And I'm going to do all of those things for Angela. Shine, mm-hmm. evolve, love, and fulfill Angela. Mm-hmm. So if that means, okay, you know what? I'm going to go through some podcast submissions and do my research and see if I send out this particular submission, this submittal, if Russ will invite me on his show, and then I'm going to allot time for Russ and his fabulous Learning More podcast, you know, so be it. And that's another aspect of it, because I know people that just, you know, they submit to be on this, on that radio show and this TV show and whatever else. And it's like, there's no commonality. There's no alignment. There's no, you know, no depth there, but I am definitely more calculated now after pandemic with all things, like I said, from professional to personal to, you know, romantic relationship, everything. Like, I am very, very calculated with my time.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, like, yeah, like being surrounded, like there, you know, there was, you know, death, and there was, you know, like this sort of risk of like what's going to happen, or I don't know what it was. But yeah, I mean, I'm exactly that as well. Like, just more, very, very much more calculated with my time now, where it's like,
it gave us an opportunity to just be still more. And then, like you said, it was like, okay, let me kind of go back and check and see, how much time am I putting into this? How much time was I putting into that? How much effort was I putting into this? And it was just like, I just started seeing such a waste of, you know, different things. And it was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like you're running, 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 running. We just hit the pause button. And now it's like, okay, well, why am I running? Like, I'm tired. Like, maybe I should sit every once in a while. Maybe I should rest.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, okay. I threw in internal voices a second ago, because we touched a little on listening to those external voices, but there's also these internal voices that I'm going to go ahead and say a lot of those are programmed by the external forces, right? And like, maybe we're not watching out for ourselves, as you say. Like, how do we learn to listen to the right inside voice?
I believe the biggest thing that has helped me to listen or not listen to the internal voices.
Make those right choices.
Oh yeah, 100%. I feel off balance when I don't listen. I feel off balance when I listen and it's not a good choice, or it's not a good path. And it's so quick now, I think, because I'm putting my happiness, I'm putting my joy, I'm putting, you know, my light first. And before, I was not doing those things. It was more or less like, okay, well, I'm doing this because this is what I've done all my life. This is all I know. This is what, you know, I was exposed to, or this is what my environment dictated at one point, or maybe this person that mom, dad, grandparents, whomever else, with the best of intentions, obviously. But at some point, you really have to take your life, and you have to take, you know, everything into consideration that's going to make you happy. And when I started doing those things, a lot of the internal became better suited for me. And it wasn't so muffled, I guess, if you would. And it wasn't so you know, as it just a bunch of what am I trying to say? A bunch of X's and O's in different areas that didn't really fulfill my life. Mm-hmm. So now that I've drawn everything back to, okay, I'm only going to participate. I'm only going to progress. I'm only going, you know, going to make sure that I align with these things that make me a better person and that absolutely 100% fulfill me. My inner voice has gotten, you know, it's gotten so much stronger as it relates to, like, it really knows me. Right. It really knows me now. Before it didn't, because again, one minute I'm agreeing with this, the next minute I could be agreeing with that. And then, you know, it's just kind of like all over the place. But now that I've really commanded myself to just, okay, listen, this is how you want your life to be. And this is why you want your life to be this. So along with that, it's kind of like, there are going to be some deletions. There are going to be some, you know, times, some things that you're going to have to remove, some things that you're going mm-hmm. to receive, some things that you're going to accept. And it just all comes along with, it all comes along with the territory. Yeah. So the internal voice, as you and I kind of talked about a little bit before we actually started recording, that's actually more detrimental than the external yeah. voices, because if you can strengthen the internal voice, you know, that inner voice, then the external voices, they don't even matter.
Right. And it's so much about trusting that inner voice and trusting and like daring to take risk as well, you know, and all of that is so hard. And a lot of that, you know, it's, I guess you could put it on confidence, but a lot of it too is just like, just really like introspection and figuring out yourself and like, you know, going through, well, you're going to go through some good times. You're going to go through some bad times and like learning from all of it, like whatever you can, sucking it in and figuring out how to do better next time and just, you know, try to improve, because it's not easy. Now, you had mentioned the whole, you know, being an NFL wife. That's got to be like what I would feel. And okay. So I used to work in radio and I, you know, I worked with, actually, I produced for Ryan Seacrest for about a year while he was in San Francisco. Okay. And when I would say that, it's like, you know, I'm in San Francisco. He was a bit of a celebrity at that time here in San Francisco, not really, you know, anywhere else. He hadn't started Idol yet or anything like that, or started the, you know, Regis and Kathy Lee, like none of that stuff. Like he wasn't doing anything. He was just hosting a radio show and that was it. However, people could tell the talent back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say, well, you know, we do a 3-7 show. He would always want to go out and get dinner afterwards. So we'd go and get dinner. And he would always kind of pick, because, you know, I'm a producer, so I'm making like, you know, pennies to his, you know, bills that he's making. But it's like, you know, we're going out to dinner and we're going to like all these like expensive restaurants and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is not my style. This is not like me. But I felt like, first of all, like, you know, like, okay, well, I want to be a part of this because I'm part of the show. So I should go out. I should do this. So I felt that pressure. But then I also felt like completely uncomfortable in the situation because I was outside of my area, right? Of like where I felt comfortable. So that's where I'm coming from with this. I feel like with you and getting to kind of this community of the NFL, mm-hmm. I'm assuming because people had, you know, kind of thoughts about me and who I was supposed to be and how I should act and how I should behave and what I should be doing and, you know, the cool celebrities I'm meeting or whatever. Like they had like this opinion of me that I felt like in a way I sort of had to live up to, or else it was like a letdown. Like, I'm assuming it was sort of similar being an NFL wife. Talk a little about that.
Oh my gosh. 100%. It's like pow, pow, pow. Everything that you just said is so true. But I will say this, Russ, not just from what I found, not just from an NFL lifestyle, like I'm no longer in the NFL lifestyle and I still find that to be a problem. You know, right. So it doesn't end. I made the comment some time ago on another interview Because they were like, well, you know, how do you keep up with the Joneses? And I said, well, you know, the thing about it is the Joneses trying to keep up with the Smiths, and the Smiths trying to keep up with the Thomases, and the Thomases trying. And it's like a never ending cycle. And so that's why it becomes like uber important that you know who you are. You know why you are, you know what you want, what you don't want, what you like. And again, stepping outside of our comfort zones from time to time, I think is a great thing. I really do. But I also think that there should be balance. Like, you know, if you are having to, for me, if I'm having to constantly do something that I don't want to do, to me, that's obligation. And that's really not living a fulfilled life for me. That's living as a puppet for someone else. Yeah. And in that NFL lifestyle, once upon a time, it was just, I mean, it was so crazy how just from hairstyles or color choices, our children at the time, Russ, and this is so crazy because like my children now are 34 and 32, but at the time they were very young. You're talking about like 3 and 5, maybe, or six and eight, I can't remember. But at any rate, you know, how do you tell a child, no, you know, you can't wear these light up Ninja Turtle shoes that you really, really want, but you have to wear Nike because your dad has a Nike, you know, like it's just ridiculous. To me, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think I wish I had the backbone at that particular time to just be like, no, okay, you know, yeah, we are a Nike family, or yes, he did sign with Reebok or whatever. And we did, you know, he was getting paid for us to advertise those things. And I get that. But by the same token, it's kind of like, you know, how do you create that good balance with a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old that wants the light up shoes? Right. You know?
Right.
Yeah. And it actually coincides with us as an adult, because like you said, there were so many places that we would get invited to and different events and whatnot. And it wasn't so much that I didn't feel comfortable. It's just like, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes going because you have to, you know, you want to have good, you know, balance as it relates to just being in the company of different people. But by the same token, you know, I don't want to just go just to be going to
right
make life easier for you. What about making life easier for me?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I will say one of the things with, I feel like I, it's like Seacrest was like one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Like he is so like who he is actually who he is on TV and on radio. Like that's who he is. He's a nice guy, and it's hard for everybody to believe that. And you know what's funny is, so he just left his morning show there with Kathy, or no, not Kathy. Who was her name? I don't know. Whoever her name is, Kelly. Yeah. So it's no longer Kelly and Ryan. I guess she's bringing her husband on, and they're going to do their own show. And he's moving back to LA. This whole thing, right? And so I saw him trending the other day, and because I hadn't heard that he was leaving, and I saw him trending on Twitter. I'm like, oh shoot, like what happened? You know, it always freaks me out when I see anybody trending on Twitter. But I see, and then, you know, I see that he's leaving, and there's so many negative comments about him that it's like, it's just driving me crazy. I'm like, this guy is such a nice guy. And it's like, you know, like, it's so frustrating to me. Now I know he's your ex-husband, but you also probably had to deal a lot with that and, you know, have like having people say negative things about him throughout his career. And that really, there was an impact on him, but I'm sure there was also an impact on you for that. So talk a little about that too, about those kind of external forces coming in and just negative feelings coming in into your household because of that.
You know, I'm not going to say that we did not have our share of disagreements and arguments about different things that was being said, not just about him, but just in general overall, because again, I don't want to just compartmentalize this thing and just make it like, okay, well, it is a celebrity thing, because to me, the bullying and different things that different people experience on levels throughout life, it's just mean people. It's mean-spirited people. It's people with a certain type of energy. that's their entire life. That's what they do. They find fault with everything that you do. Now, with that being said, yeah, some of the things that from my ex to myself to whomever else that we may read about or whatnot, there are some, some things that all of us could definitely be working on. However, as it relates to, I think when you get into talking about a person, especially as you mentioned with Ryan, someone who, is really nice to you and I'm sure to others as well, for people that don't know him to just make bogus, boneheaded comments, it's just who some people are. And that's what I had to realize for my ex and myself. Even to this day, believe it or not, Russ, we've been divorced. And this is the truth. We've been divorced almost 23 years. Mm. Okay. 23 years. And I still hear stupid stuff about, I swear about him, about me, about this, about that. It is so crazy. But what's even crazier, or what would be even crazier, is if at this point in my life, I'll be 52 this year, we've been divorced almost 23 years, if I were to respond or give any type of engagement or entertainment to those comments, which I don't. Now, right. Back in the day, obviously, there were certain things, like I said, he would bring different things home, as we all do as professionals. Anytime your livelihood, someone is saying something negative or derogatory, it does impact you, and it affects you in a great way. That's not why we are divorced. That's a function of it, but it was just many things on his part and my part.
Okay.
But the negativity is just something that, and I try to tell my children, we have two amazing adult children. We have five biological, that is, amazing grandchildren. And I try to really instill in them that whether you do good or bad, let's just pray that you're going to do more good than bad. Even with the good that you do, the great things that you do, someone somewhere is going to find fault with it. That's just, that's just a fact of life. How you and I were talking earlier with the good things, that good ideas and good intentions that we have, and people still find fault in it.
Yeah.
So, for me right now, I've just learned that the two best letters of the alphabet that really calms my senses, and it also irritates those that are negative, is when they say certain things. I just simply say, okay. And that's nice. It.
Nice.
There's no back and forth. You know what I mean? And I can see it, especially like if we're face to face or whatever, and someone says something, and that's the moment that power that they thought they had, that negative power, it disengages them. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else. And now I'm still smiling. I'm still moving on with my life. I'm still going forward. And they're back there still trying to figure out, why didn't it get her goat? Or why didn't it, why didn't this irritate her? Because you can't.
Well, and that a lot of times is just their purpose. That's what they want to do. They lift themselves up by bringing others down. Like that's, and when they see that it doesn't have an impact, by the way, I thought you were going to go with two different letters. When they see it doesn't have an impact, then, it's like, great. It like, why keep doing it? Right. It's kind of like, I remember in like, this is going way back. This is like in elementary school. There was this kid that would like flick my ear. He sat behind me and he would flick my ear. And I was like, I was so annoyed by this kid. And, I would always have this big response. I'm like, come on, stop it. And then one day I just like, I wonder if I just like completely ignored him and like didn't talk to him ever, like gave him nothing, like zero of my time, if he would just stop. Like, I don't know why I thought that. And maybe it was just that I was, ticked off. But like he stopped, like he went to another target because he wasn't getting any kind of response out of me. And he just stopped. Right. I don't know how old I was and I don't know how I figured that out. Probably somebody told me, but it was like, I always, I think back to that. And so it's, I like that you're saying that. And I've tried to talk to my kids about that. And I've tried to manage myself because sometimes, I'm so annoyed by something and it's hard to like, okay, I'm not happy right now. This is not cool. And it's like, I've tried to pull that back for, you know, certain things, like, I don't know, the solar people that keep coming to the house and knocking on the door. It's like, come on, I'm sick of you guys. Like,
or the people with the car warranties and the whatever else, the calls, the nonstop.
Oh my God. We had the biggest example of this was there was somebody that had our phone number, our home phone number before we had it. And she apparently owed money to everybody on the planet because we would get a debt call every single day. Wow. Asking for, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, Melinda Freitas was her name. Like, everybody, if you're out there, Melinda, people want their money back. But yeah, exactly. We're coming for you. But it's like, it was so many calls and I would get so upset. And then eventually I realized, I'm like, wait, why don't I just block the call? Like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time and energy getting upset? There's so many other things that I can deal with and use that energy in a different way. And it's just like, I don't know. I guess it's a weird thing. And I'm glad I talked to you about this because I almost feel in a way it's like it's an I don't care attitude, but it really is, but it isn't. It's not an I don't care. It's a I care about myself more.
I was just going to say it isn't I don't care, but it's an I don't care because I care more about me.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a different way to look at things, but it's so hard to get there. Oh, and it sounds like what the way that you're handling that is so healthy and so great. How, like somebody listening today, like let's give them something actionable where they can like sort of, well, do this whole thing of living vicariously through themselves. Like how do they get there? Like what's a step that they can take today to get them closer to that?
The first step that you can take is understand that you are human. So it's not going to be, even if you decide, or when you decide, right? Which is the first step. That's the first D. You got to decide that I want to live vicariously through myself. I want to live a fulfilling life. It's not going to be a yellow brick road. You are going to fail miserably at times. And it's okay because it's like fail, then get back up. So you decide. And then you deal. You deal with the failures. You deal with everything that may come your way. That may not be what you expected, or maybe it is what you expected and you just have to deal with it anyway. You be determined. That's the third D. So you decide, you deal with it, you be determined to move through, to move forward, no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens. And you will definitely reach the fourth D, which is the destination of living vicariously through yourself. When you understand that, going back to square one, that you're human. I think a lot of times so much pressure has been put on us to A, be something that we're not, you know, or be something that other people want us to be. And then B, to be perfect.
Yeah.
And there is no perfect Patty. People ask me all the time. Yes, I am pretty much, you know, like I'm optimistic and I'm positive, but I have pessimistic ways. I have downtime, you know, down days. I have meltdowns. I have tantrums. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like there's this one stop or shop or this, I can flick this switch on and it's just like, it's just going to be illuminated at all times. That has never happened in my life in anything. And it still doesn't happen. I mean, just look how many times, you know, you and I, as far as like had to reschedule so many different things that have come, mm-hmm. Come at different times, but I didn't allow it to deter what I felt like I needed to do going forward to continue living vicariously through myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know.
So just remember, please, if you don't get anything else from this particular show, you're human, and human, you know, means that you have opportunities to be faced with, you know, just a variety of things, and it's okay. What's not okay is just rolling over and allowing those things to just consume you and just make you not live vicariously through yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to remember that it's okay to screw up. You know, we always get down on ourselves, and we always I've managed various, you know, members of my staff throughout the years at different places that I've worked. And it's always interesting to me when somebody comes to me with, or, you know, something's discovered where they messed something up, and they're always kind of shocked by my response of like, okay, well, how do we prevent that from happening again? And what did you learn from it? Mm-hmm. Like that, I try to make that always my response. Now, I might be, you know, squeezing a stress ball underneath the desk, but you know, I'm always trying to be calm about that, because like, I feel like if I've hired somebody and they've made a bunch of mistakes, right? And you know, but every single time they've learned from it, every single time they've improved, and also every single time maybe our systems have improved and things have gotten better, I've invested so much in that person over time that they are so much more valuable than like getting somebody else, right? Like keeping them and you know, like making them like just even better at what they're doing is like, it's amazing. Like it's worked for me like over and over and over again, which always sucks, because then they leave and they go to a higher paid position and oh man, like, this sucks. But you know, it's like, it's this great way of like, just, you know, helping people grow. But it's always amazing to me that I still do that. I'm like, oh shoot, I screwed up. This sucks. Like, and then I try to get into my head as fast as I can of how do I fix it? What do I do now? What's mm-hmm. next? You know, like, what did I learn from this? How do I prevent it? How do I make better systems so I don't do this again? You know, like you saw in the beginning of this podcast, I've got a checklist of stuff that I tell people. Why? Yeah. Because I've forgotten to tell people before. I'm not going to remember. So I've got a checklist, and I actually click a box each time, because I know myself, and I know that that's what I need to, you know, to make sure that people hang in there. And it's learning about yourself, which is great. I know I sound super healthy. I don't think I am, but I know you are. I feel like listening to you is like, I almost want to set like somehow my alarm on my phone to just hear your voice in the morning to give me some like positive reinforcement for the day, because I love what you're saying and you know, like the messages that you're getting across. Now, unfortunately, with the way this podcast goes, there's only so much we can learn, right? There's only so much we can do, because I got like 40 or so minutes to do the podcast. And the great thing though is you've got a website and you've also got a book. Can you tell us about the both of those? Tell us about actually, you've got various books, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, give us those first. Let's add to the reading list here.
Well, the first book that I wrote is Lust, Lessons, Love, and Life. And that, Russ, is a compilation of real events of my life. So after my divorce, I just, you know, I took a lot of time, 8 years to be exact, to just reflect on a lot of things that were internally, inwardly, that were bothering me. And what I also have labeled as it was hindering me from becoming the person who I needed to be. So Lust, Lessons, Love, and Life. The title is just as it suggests, is not for the weak of heart. Okay. So let me say that, because it is a compilation of poetry, just different things that I journaled as I was going through different things. So then after that, my autobiography, which is the story and life of an ex-NFL wife. I wrote that one simply to just tell my story as it relates to my growth, my struggles, the trials, just different things that I went through, not just from that lifestyle, but prior to that lifestyle with my ex-husband, the divorce, just stepping out on faith, just different things that I went through. And then from those two books, the third book that I am a featured author in is Women Who Lead Extraordinary Lives. And I was actually selected along with 30 other phenomenal females, might I add, across the globe that are in that particular book. So either one of those books, you know, would be fantastic for your viewers and your readers. I'll say my website is www.inotherwordsbysnone.com. You can learn a lot about me, about what I do, the, you know, my profession, my personal life. There's some things on there as well. I'm just a person who is on a journey to be better, to influence, to impact people on a positive note through my words, work, and wisdom. That's my goal.
I
will say this also, you would learn a lot more from me, not just from this interaction from a podcast, but I also have implemented for myself what I call 8 minutes per day that I give myself to just rant and rave and whatever else, just let certain things out. So then I am, for the remainder of the day, after I've taken that 8 minutes to just kind of humanize myself, then the rest of the time I can be this superwoman that is on a really good trajectory. So nice. Thank you so much for having me, Russ. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, I want to bring you back again to talk, like, just do the 8 minutes with me. Like, that would be so much fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you, that episode would go viral. Because then it gets people, you know, like, it really bothers me with the inspiration and the motivation. And people are just like, positive, 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 positive all the time. And it's just like, oh, my God, can I just be down? Can I just really?
Exactly.
Yeah, what's bothering me. And then when you get it out, it's like you feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, let me have my bad moments. Let me have my bad days. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Exactly. Hey, you know, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad that I know we had, like, I don't even know how many different things happen as we tried to schedule here. We had my sickness, the cough. We had, like, there were power outages here because of weather. There was all kinds of crazy stuff. So thank you for constantly rescheduling as we got this podcast going.
Thank you for allowing me, because I believe the last two were actually on me when my life just kind of, you know, took a different turn, as life does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's been a crazy year, and it's, you know, it's going to always be crazy, isn't it? It just happens.
And I just love it. Crazy and all.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And hey, thank you for listening and subscribing and reviewing Learning More. I encourage you, and I thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. Nice comments only, please, if you could. As with any podcast that gives medical legal opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice. And I encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. On the next Learning More, you know what? What I decided was, like, you know, it's like so much fun with this episode. I'm like, I want to get it out. So I'm getting it out this week. So it's like, I don't even know what's going to run next week. So you're going to be just as surprised as I am. But I've got some great interviews that I've been doing. And what you're going to hear throughout the season here is I did some of those while I was still sick. So you're going to hear my voice get all weird in some of these episodes. So I'm going to apologize in advance for that. But yes, we've got some new episodes coming out each and every Thursday. If you're on the Podbean app, make sure you subscribe and you follow. It's fantastic because you can also communicate back with me. We can have a little chat. I've got somebody that's been sending me some book titles and some show suggestions. I'd love to have more of that. So please do that over there on Podbean. You know, also wherever else you're listening, I'm sure there's some cool way to reach out to me. So please do. I love that. That is a great part of doing this. If you've got something, anything that you want to learn more about, let me know. And we could just do an entire episode about it. That would be lots of fun. You can also head over to learningmorepodcast.com to see all the back episodes. You know, speaking about that, like, we did one on perfection and chasing perfection. I think that one would be an interesting match for those that enjoyed this show. You might want to go check out that one. Spoke with a professor that's recently done some research on that, and very cool stuff. So please do go check that one out as well. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for reviewing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.